Ted Cruz, by the way, would also be a good AG. But Ted Cruz would be a terrific head of the Department of Homeland Security. I'll bet you that border would be zipped up tighter than a Ziploc bag with three Ziplocs on it. Then you could say, howdy do. And I think he'd strip that department, make it functional, make it work, make it a protector rather than enemy of the people. I think he'd do a great job. Carly Fiorina, if she was not the vice presidential candidate, she'd probably be a hell of a Secretary of State. She's tough. She's smart. She knows the international thing. She's well-spoken. She has a business negotiation background. I think she'd be terrific. Marco Rubio, I think, also might be a good Secretary of State. If he could, because of his boyish looks, command the respect of the overseas monsters he's going to have to deal with. Perry would be a fabulous Department of Defense guy. He is your Secretary of Defense. He has the military background. He's tougher than nails. He knows all those people. The military would know that, once again, they have somebody who's going to cover their back and is more interested with building a functional fighting force and employing it to protect the Constitution and the American people and the American homeland than paying for and legalizing transgender operations. Thank you, Ash Carter. Really? That's the purpose of the military now? What? I think Perry would rock at that job. Trump. Ah, Mr. Trump. Since you are the world's greatest businessman, the world's greatest negotiator, and by the way, I'm not disputing your claims, you are the Secretary of Commerce. You are the one who's going to go out and kick some butt on all these trade agreements. Kick Mexico's butt, kick China's butt, you name it. Your job is go kick butt. You are the Secretary of Commerce. I think he'd be terrific at it. I think he'd drive these other countries crazy. Can you imagine Trump storming around Beijing, demanding this, demanding that, doing his tantrums with the Chinese? Hell, they'll agree to something just to get him out of the country. And, you know, we're not interested in why they do it. We're just interested in the end result. Yes, Secretary of Commerce for sure for Mr. Trump. Paul Rand. You know, one of the things I like about Paul Rand is his stance, which he kind of got from his father, on the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, taxes, government expenditures, you name it. He would be a great Secretary of the Treasury. Can you imagine the IRS with Rand Paul? With Rand Paul as the Secretary of the Treasury. In other words, their top boss, way above the IRS commissioner. Oh, boy, that'd be fun. My predictions are there wouldn't be much of an IRS left in about 3 years. And we'd be moving to a taxation system which would be far better for this country, far more equitable, and far more stimulative in terms of new business formation, which means new job creation. So what do you think of that idea? You know, I'd love for you to write me. Oh, and by the way, Huckabee, education. He thinks the education department should be disbanded. I agree. Put him in charge of disbanding the education department, of turning all the curriculum and all the Common Core crap and all that nonsense back to the states, and disbanding the department. His job is to work himself out of a job, and he'll get it done. In the meantime, the department might even function and do some good while it's on its way out. Right now, it's just a waste of $72 billion a year to pollute the minds of our youngsters. I think, folks, that is a hell of a team. And there's something in there for everyone. There's a woman. Oh, and Ben Carson, the head of HHS, Health and Human Services. He wants to dismantle Obamacare. Put him in charge of Obamacare. I bet it gets dismantled pretty damn fast. And I bet he takes this bloated department, which is out to control people's lives by controlling their health, and turns it completely upside down. And he knows what he's doing. He's been there, done that. Now, isn't that a hell of a team? Can you imagine? You got something for everybody. You got a black man. You got a woman. You got, ultra-conservatives, not-so-conservative, people with business experience, people with government experience, people with medical experience, people with financial experience. And they're all in the slots they should be in, given their missions, which is to downsize their slots, in the case of some like Huckabee, to work themselves out of a job by dismantling their slots. Now, I think the American people would absolutely go bananas for that. I mean, sure, Hillary or whoever the hell the progressives nominate over in the left side, they're going to get their 25% of the ultra-left vote, and they're going to get their 10 to 15% of the entitlement vote. But I think there'd be a landslide. I think they'd win the election the day that that happened. And they'd be able to pool all their resources, which otherwise they're going to spend beating each other up for the next six months to the delight of the progressives, i.e. the Democrats. And they'd be able to marshal them. Wow. So they'd have a huge war chest, a cohesive team. The more I've thought about this idea over the past few weeks, the more I like it. And they could get their campaign started early rather than 6 months from now when the last debate is over. I mean, please. Didn't we learn our lesson with Romney? That's my thoughts on politics. Let's go to China. So, everybody talks about China is this and China is that, and Trump screams and hollers about China. And yes, they've kicked our butt in a lot of ways because we've let them. They have launched huge cyber attacks against us, including the theft of 24 million personal records from Americans because Barry is too busy doing his ideological, racist, divisive crap rather than presiding over a defense of the country according to the oath he took when he was unfortunately sworn into the presidency. But China is not as solid as you think, and I've been saying this for a while. And let me tell you, one of the things about China, as the world's largest economy, is now slightly larger than the United States in terms of GDP. If China craters, the banking crisis of 2008 is going to look like a marshmallow roast. So, in China's case, I'm going to give you some facts and statistics that people haven't thought about. The Chinese government, like any government, lies through its teeth. They're desperate to maintain power. Remember, it's a communist country that through crony capitalism, which as bad as ours is, and it is, half the people should go to jail. Through crony capitalism has grown its economy, of course, with the result of great wealth to its leaders. Gee, wonder how that happens. However, some statistics in the Chinese economy don't lie. You can't alter them. You can alter GDP numbers and employment and this and that and the other. I mean, our government does it all the time. I've talked about it ad infinitum on these shows. Go to realstatistics.com. You will see the real unemployment rate. You will see the real GDP. You will see the real inflation rate. And let me tell you, folks, it ain't what the government's telling you. The Chinese communists are that on steroids. So the way they've done this is to have huge infrastructure projects, highways and bridges and airports and, coal plants. I think they bring a coal plant online like every week or every other week. And housing. they have manipulated a movement of rural Chinese to urban centers to build this massive infrastructure, which the government pays for through crony capitalism. Because they believe that as long as each of the Chinese has a job, and they can taste the fruits of the job through their little apartment or their car or all these things that the Chinese middle class is now enjoying, that they can keep the people under control, keep lining their pockets, and keep themselves in power. Gee, it kind of sounds like Washington, D.C., doesn't it? No wonder our government is such buddy-buddies with the Chinese. 220 million Chinese in the last 5 to 6 years have moved from the country to the city to work on these huge infrastructure projects. 27% of the housing in China is now vacant. In other words, the Chinese government is propping up the economy and keeping its people placated through huge infrastructure projects, including housing, which are empty. There is no demand for them. There are not enough people to fill them. What do you think is going to happen when that bubble kind of bursts? And burst it will. It's going to make our housing crisis over here 5 years ago, 6 years ago, look like child's play. Since 1983, half a billion Chinese, half the population of the country, has moved to the city. 220 million of those since 2002. I'm sorry, I said 2005. Since 2002. So, you have all these unskilled workers who used to live in the country, living in the city, doing these fake infrastructure projects, which are meant to be vacant and are vacant. They're simply make work deals. And the Chinese government thinks if it keeps people employed, they won't question the corrupt, the crony capitalism, etc., etc. You know what? This state-driven capitalist mode is not going to work. It's going to have a very, very poor ending. Let me give you some stats. Chinese railway freight shipments dropped 12% in June. 12%. That, folks, is a huge drop. They have been under zero since June of 2012 in all but about 5 or 6 months. And it's precipitous drops. They went literally in December 2009 from a 20% increase in rail shipments to a current 12% decrease. That's a 32% swing in rail shipments. And of course, we know what rail shipments are, right? It's a shipment of goods and products from manufacturers to people who want to buy them. So I guess 32% less stuff is being bought in China. Let's look at another really interesting statistic. Power consumption. You know, it's very difficult for the governments to manipulate these numbers because they can be tracked by satellites and all sorts of things. Power consumption, now it went up a little bit in July. By 1.8%. That is nothing. Zero. And that 1.8% increase was after an almost 2.5% decrease in power consumption for the previous several months. In fact, there's been no surge in Chinese power consumption. You know, you need power to build things. You need power to manufacture things. You need power for houses. Remember, 27% of their housing stock is vacant. There is no power to the vacant house. So power consumption is telling a tale in China. It's not a pretty picture. Let's look at one more. Auto sales growth. You've heard all the stories about tens of millions of Chinese buying cars and the economy is going crazy and la di da di da. Well, let me tell you, who's ever writing those articles, a little bit behind the power curve. Because car sales in China peaked in June of 2009 and actually declined a negative 3.4% in June of 2015. And it's been a steady slide with just a few little blips upwards since that peak in June of 2009. So car sales, which in many ways is probably one of the staple measures of the consumer's willingness to purchase, are going down the tank in China. If you take those three statistics, why don't we just say if you combine them, the recipe is not for a great cake when you open the oven door. And if something happens with China, it's going to have not ripple effects, but tsunami effects across the planet. You folks who read the family safety column, remember what I just told you. Okay. Let's talk about Obama and his online gun and ammo info deal. You remember about 4 months ago when the FCC was passing its net neutrality, blah, 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 crap, unconstitutionally. Of course, the Republicans in Congress, you know, didn't have the cojones to stand up and stop them. And I warned you then that this was the progressive camel's nose under the free market First Amendment tent. And here we are. Remember what progressives do. They nudge. They go step by step. They have a grand plan, and they'll do each little step along the way to achieve the grand ends. So the net neutrality crap, which was sold to the American public on, we're going to save you rates, we're going to blah, 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 blah. It's all about control, folks. It's exactly as I told you. And here is the camel getting its whole head in the tent. Because Barack Obama, on his 2015 unified agenda, in other words, all the havoc he wants to wreck from the Oval Office, bypassing Congress, using the UN, using the enemies of America as his allies, i.e. Iran, etc. That's his unified agenda. And high on the unified agenda is gun control by fiat. And what he's done now, he's about to impose a rule. And it's being done through ITAR. Okay, ITAR is the International Traffic in Arms Regulations. Now, never mind, ITAR was written before the internet. The State Department, of course, the great ally of Barack Obama, the State Department with Sop Kerry in charge and crooked, corrupt Hillary prior to him, has said that if you take information about bullets and firearms and you put them online, because they could have international readers, it's an export of weaponry, technology, and information, which ITAR was written to stop in the days before the internet. So Barack Obama is now trying to enact, by executive fiat, executive order, bypassing Congress, a rule which does not allow arms and arms manufacturers, even gun dealers and gun dealerships and gun wholesalers and ammunition manufacturers, wholesalers, and dealers to put information about their products online. Instead, if they want to put something online with having anything to do with guns, they have to go to bureaucrats at the State Department to have it approved. Gee, I think that's kind of like the Tea Party going to the IRS to get their tax-exempt status. It ain't never going to happen. ITAR was written to protect the theft or the transfer of hard paper data technical data like blueprints and drawings and photographs and plans or instructions and documentation. I'm quoting from ITAR right now. It has nothing to do with this web stuff. This is strictly a ploy at gun control. That is what it is, period. And you better get informed about it. And you better write your congressman about it. Because not only does it infringe greatly upon your Second Amendment rights, obviously the ability to communicate is your First Amendment rights. And it lops them all to hell. Just as I told you would happen when the FCC proposed and then self-adopted its unconstitutional net neutrality 356 pages. The Constitution's only three. It's 356 pages of rules 4 months ago, which effectively gave control of the internet to the government. And here's the first stab at that control. Our next topic for today. So, you know, I have listeners. Actually, I'll get to that last. Our friends in Venezuela and socialism and communism and their failures. As a brief little deal between now and then. So, if you look up this stuff, there have been some huge studies by eHealth and the Daily Caller. Everybody's been talking about the rise in healthcare premiums. Nobody's been able to quantify it. These guys have done a great study. Healthcare premiums rose 37% for the 8-year period ended 2013. That's 2005 to 2013. Over the course of those 8 years, healthcare costs went up 37%. Your premiums went up 37%. Since the passage of Obamacare, during the 1-year period from 2013 to 2014, premiums rose 39%. So, 37% rise over 8 years versus a 39% rise in 1 year. And by the way, the insurance companies are just getting started, folks. You wait and see what those premium hikes are going to be from here on in. So I wanted to quantify that for you. Because if you think you have less money in your wallet, you ain't thinking wrong. You be right. And we're going to end the show with another sterling example. For you liberals who listen to me, and I get your letters and emails once in a while, I call you out on them, you know. Your utopia, your spread the wealth, your 90% taxation of anybody making more than $10 a week. You know, I mean, wow. I know you guys have all heard this, but, you know, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. So, Venezuela. You remember Chavez down in Venezuela? You remember that big old hug that Barry gave him? I think it was a month or two after he bowed to the Saudi king at the South American summit 4, 5, 6 years ago before Chavez died and his henchmen took over. Well, Venezuela is a socialist communist country. Everything is state-owned, state-run, crony capitalism. It's kind of like China, but without the room, the zoom, the broom of China. And it's a few years ahead of China, which means it's a few years closer to going down the tube. So let me quote, Venezuela is due to begin installing about 20,000 fingerprint scanners at supermarkets across the country, reports the BBC. It's part of its introduction to rationing. Yes, hey, you libs, you're right. That communism really works. Mm-hmm. Inflation in Venezuela is at 64%. John Hopkins professor Steve Hank says it's more like 157%. So there's price controls. And when you have price controls, you have shortages. And the big hashtag in Venezuela is an equilibrio of vacios in Venezuela, empty shelves in Venezuela, which took off on Twitter. Chavez's henchman, who he appointed from his deathbed, Nicolas Maduro, has persuaded all these supermarkets to put in fingerprint scanners so that people can't buy too much food from the empty shelves. You know, wow, you really can't make this up, can you? The supermarkets didn't want to do it at first, but they all changed their minds after the owners or managers of a number of grocery and drug chains were arrested a month ago. Do you know what they were charged with, by the way? Not having enough cashiers in the lines so that people had to wait for the one item of produce they could buy from the empty shelves. Once again, I'm not making that up. So after a bunch of them got thrown in a nasty Venezuelan jail because their store didn't have enough cashiers, suddenly all the grocery markets and all the pharmacies are all installing their little fingerprint scanners. So, another sterling example of the intricate and highly successful workings of communism. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You think about my idea on that Republican kind of, you're electing the team approach. The more I like it, the more I think about it, the more I like it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great Saturday.